has graciously blessed my wife and myself with 4 children, who in turn have produced 11 grandchildren for us. And we've been highly privileged in having such a wonderful family. And the Lord has indeed blessed us as a husband and wife through them, and we thank God for them. And some while ago, I was thinking about the family and thinking about the grandchildren. And I was thinking how they've sort of gradually grown up. I think the eldest grandchild now is 14, 15, somewhere around about there. And the youngest, well, he's sitting here somewhere, there he is on his mum's lap. And I was thinking about them. And I was thinking about our own children as well, our 4, and how when they began to grow, they began to start to speak. Oh, they started with those very simple things as mama and dada and things like that. But then gradually, as they got that little bit older, they began to form larger words and string words together. And they started to speak. And it wasn't long before, indeed, they could really start chattering and talking. And of course, we were quite proud of them, weren't we, as parents, as they began to speak. But then came the next stage, the stage when they start asking questions. Then sometimes we wish they couldn't speak. Some while ago, and I can't remember, I think it was sometime last year, I just mentioned something like that in one of my sermons, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said that one of his granddaughters asked him a very funny question the other day. And this was the question he asked the grandchild asked the grandfather: why does a cat have 4 legs? Well, he said, I was stumped for a moment. Then I said, I thought to me, and he said, I failed. I wasn't very serious. He said, well, they've got 4 legs so they don't fall over. But he said, my granddaughter was quicker than that. She said, but granddad, we've got 2 legs and we don't fall over. And he said, then I decided that perhaps the best answer to give was the fact that, well, God's made a cat with 4 legs, and all cats have 4 legs, and that's something that God has done in his providence. He's produced animals that have 4 legs. Human beings walk on 2 legs. And that's the way God has so planned it. But there's a story about a little boy. A little boy who asked his father a very, very profound question. Dad, what does God think about? What does God think about? Now, how would you answer that question? How will you handle such a question as that? What does God think about? A profound question indeed. When we think about our God, our Heavenly Father, we know we have a God who knows everything. Everything that's happened in the past. He knows what's going on now in the present, and he knows what will happen in the future. We use those 3 long words, don't we, all starting with O. We say God is omnipotent, in that he's all-powerful. He can do anything. We say that God is omniscient, that he's all-knowing. He knows everything that is happening, has happened, is happening now, and will happen. We know that God is omnipresent, that he is everywhere. There is nowhere we can go to get away from God. So we have a sovereign God, a God who indeed is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-seeing. Does he need to think? Surely he does what is right on every occasion. Does our God need to think? I wonder Have you ever stopped to think about what you think about? Oh, you say that's the thing, isn't it? If I stop to think about what I think about, well, I think about many things. Things that I've done, things that I've said, things that I want to do, things that other people have said to me and done to me. I think about joys and happinesses that I've had. I think about problems and difficulties and anxieties. In fact, I think so often and so much that sometimes I wish I didn't have to think. For indeed we do have, do we not, so many things upon our minds. But you know, really, I think we are glad that we can think. What if we couldn't think? What if we were just automatons? We just did things in a very automatic way. And we didn't have to think about it. We were just like a machine, just going through life doing things automatically. Yes, I think when we really think about it, we want to be able to think. But you know, sometimes God tells us not to think. When he was preaching and he was giving that wonderful sermon, which we call the Sermon on the Mount, he said, take no thought for the morrow. Or as we've got it in the NIV, do not worry about tomorrow. You see, he was teaching his disciples that they weren't to get so anxious and so concerned. They were to trust in him. They were to have confidence in their God. And we so easily get worried and anxious when problems and difficulties arise and we're not sure how we're going to get out of them and how we're going to deal with them. Then we worry and we toss and turn in our beds. And we get all anxious. And we say, oh dear, if only I didn't worry about this. If only I could stop thinking about it. But God says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Put your trust in me. Believe in me. Have confidence in me. But there again, God tells us sometimes to think. Speaking to us through the Apostle Paul, when Paul was writing to the Philippian church, in chapter 4 and verse 8, God says to us, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. They're the things God wants us to think about. To fill our minds with things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about such things. But let us go back to our little boy's question. Dad, what does God think about? Well, David, in the psalm that we read, right at the very end, I believe answers our question. Psalm 40 and verse 17. This is a verse that has been translated in many different ways in our various versions. The AV says, yet I am poor and needy. Sorry, the NIV. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. The AV says, may the Lord thinketh upon me. The New American Standard Bible says, let the Lord be mindful of me. The New King James, yet the Lord thinks upon me. And the very latest version, the English Standard Version, but the Lord takes thought for me. The Lord thinketh upon me. Isn't that something wonderful? That Almighty God thinks about you and about me. David says, I'm poor and I'm needy, yet the Lord thinks of me. Who am I? Who are you that Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, should think about you? I think that's something wonderful, that our God, the Sovereign Lord, the Great Creator, has time to think about us. As I thought about this, I thought, how can I picture this? How can I put it into words? And firstly, I want us to think about this, that God thinks about us personally. Personally. There's that personal pronoun there, isn't there? Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. Or as the AV puts it, upon me. God does not have to be told anything about us. He knows us through and through. He doesn't say, oh, I want to think about Mrs. So-and-so today, or I want to know about Mr. So-and-so. And he doesn't need to have to send an angel to go and find out all about us, to have a look at us, to come back and give a report on us. He knows. He knows all about us. During my working days, I was a registrar of births, deaths and marriages. And I suppose a large percentage of my time was taken up in asking questions. I had to find out about people. A young couple would come, or a mother or a father, to register the birth of their baby. And I'd have to ask questions. Where was baby born? When was baby born? What name are you giving baby? What's father's name? What's mother's name? What's father's occupation? Where do you live? And I would fill out the necessary forms. And then I would put it into the birth register. And then I would produce a copy of what's in the birth register. And the young couple receive it as the birth certificate that they would keep. Well, somebody came in and they wanted to get married. Again, I would have to ascertain whether they were free to get married, and I'd have to ask questions and look at documents. Somebody would come in to register a death. Again, I'd have to ask questions and to ascertain whether I could register the death, whether the reason for death was one that was acceptable and didn't have to go to the coroner and that sort of thing. I had to ask questions. But God doesn't have to ask questions. He knows all about us. He knows us through and through. In fact, he tells us that he knows us by name. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was speaking to his disciples, and he was using the illustration that he himself was the good shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I know my sheep. And a few verses earlier, in verse 3, he says, he calls his own sheep by name. How encouraging that is. He knows me by name. He knows me. He knows me better than any personal friend. Even better than our dearest loved ones do. He knows our needs. He knows our joys. He knows our sorrows. He knows exactly what's exciting you today. He knows exactly what's bothering you today. Because he knows you through and through. I raised quite a titter once at the Leonora home when I was preaching on the text, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. Because I said to the dear folks there, you know, God knows you better than matron does. A matron was sitting there in the middle and that quite amused them, and sometimes it's a bit difficult to get a titter out of the Leonora a group of folks, and if they haven't dropped off to sleep halfway through your talk to them. But there was Matron, and they thought, well, Matron knows all about me. But God knows. God knows us through and through. He knows us better than anyone else does. Yes, he knows us personally. But you know, I believe God also thinks about us in a loving way. In a loving way. In verse 11 of our psalm, we read this. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. You see, God doesn't have evil thoughts about us. You know, so often we can have evil thoughts about one another, can't we? People who have upset us, people that have caused us harm and worry and anxiety. We indeed can have evil thoughts. But God, speaking to us through Jeremiah in chapter 29, says this: I know the thoughts I have for you, or toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. You see, God's thoughts for us are not evil thoughts, not harmful thoughts. God wants the best for his children. He thinks for our good because he is our heavenly Father and we are his children. In no way would I want to harm any of my children and my grandchildren, and in no way would God want to harm us. God loves us. We are his children. He gave his one and only son that you and I might live. Does he want to harm us, having given us his son? Of course he doesn't. God thinks about us in a loving way. He has his plans for us. Again in Jeremiah chapter 29, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, and not to harm you. God's thoughts about us are good thoughts. He's not suspicious of us in any way. A number of years ago, my wife and I received an invitation to dinner at Buckingham Palace. And for a few weeks before, we went under a police check. They wanted to know all sorts of things and various people to give references before we could go to Buckingham Palace and have dinner. We were checked out much more thoroughly than you're checked out on the CRB forms that I have to send in for you. We were checked out. I hasten to say it wasn't dinner with the Queen, it was dinner with one of her footmen. But nevertheless, we had to go into Buckingham Palace, and we were there in the heart of the palace. So the police had to be careful, because they had to be suspicious. But God is not suspicious about us, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. Our Heavenly Father thinks about us in a loving way. He thinks about us as a good father and mother think about their children. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says this: how precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. God's thoughts about us are precious to us. So he thinks about us in a personal way. He thinks about us in a loving way. I also believe he thinks about us in a very wise way. In a very wise way. In Jeremiah chapter 29, and verse 11, we read this: for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God has plans for us, good plans, plans that we might prosper. And in verse 5 of our psalm, he says this to us: many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. God's plans for you and for me are perfect. Oh, sometimes we can't understand the way in which God's leading us, the way in which we're going, but God knows and God understands. And God will bring us through that his plan for us might be fulfilled. The psalmist in Psalm 138 says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever." Yes, God will fulfill his purpose in your life. The purpose that he has for you, the plans that he has, in order that your life might glorify him. You see, when we look at life, it's like spreading out a jigsaw puzzle on the table before you start. You empty the box and you put all the pieces out, and there they are, complete chaos. But gradually you put the pieces together. And of course we put the pieces of life together as we go through life. And then it's not until we come to glory that all those pieces have fit together and there's the complete picture. But God sees the complete picture from the word go, because God has planned it. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world to be his child, and he has plans for you, and he will lead you through, that his indeed plans will be complete and you will prosper. And finally, I think he thinks about us, for nothing is hidden from him. He's constantly thinking about us. Job says in chapter 31, "Does he not see my ways and count my every step?" You know, being out of God's will can be a source of great fear and great anxiety. If we think on things that are evil, we can harm our relationship with God. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8 that the sinful mind is hostile to God. Is there a barrier of sin between you and your heavenly Father? God knows where our sin will lead us. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning whose life is still full of sin, unforgiven sin. Perhaps you've never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never accepted the fact that God sent his one and only Son into the world to live that sinless life, and that he'd take our sin upon himself and to suffer and die in our stead upon the cross. Your sin is laid upon the Lord, the Son of God, and he bore its punishment for you at Calvary. He died as your substitute. And God has said, repent of your sins, accept him as Savior and Lord, and you'll be free from sin, and I'll give you that wonderful gift of eternal life. Or perhaps you are a Christian, but perhaps there's still sin in your life. Perhaps you're still harboring sin, your favorite sins, your favorite habits, which are sinful, and God wants you to remove them. He says, come to me, confess those sins to me, and I'm righteous and I'm just, and I'll remove that sin from you and I'll cleanse you. God wants us to walk with him in full fellowship. He thinks upon us. He knows us through and through. We are his children. So we must walk with him. Yes, God knows us intimately. He knows not only your name, but he knows your every need. He knows what is best for you and always does what is right for you. Yes, you are always on the mind of God. "Yet I am poor and needy," says David. "May the Lord think on me." You are always on God's mind. But let me leave you with a challenge. We might be always on God's mind. Is God always on our mind? Do we constantly think about our God? Are our lives that are saturated
with the presence of our God.
That we walk with him day by day, that we know what it is to walk in fellowship with our God. I'm sure we're constantly thinking about our families, our loved ones. Our minds are always turning to them. Our minds are always being turned towards God our Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be our resolve this morning that as we know that God thinks about us, may we resolve to know him better, to know him more intimately, to have him upon our mind. Let me leave you with that challenge. Think about it. God thinks about you. Do you think about God?